starting your journey to financial freedom.
Now.
You're listening to the New Investor Podcast.
This is Farah CJ for the New Investor Podcast. Today is a very special day for the podcast as I will have the privilege of welcoming our first ever guest. So it was really important to have on the show a notable expert to talk to us about how to effectively manage our finances, to get out of debt, how to exercise sound financial planning, and how to effectively establish an ecosystem around ourselves supporting wealth creation. And that is a subject I've been thinking about a lot lately. Mr. Robert Farrington is a personal finance expert who focuses on helping millennials get out of student loan debt and start investing for their future. He is known as America's Millennial Money Expert and America's Student Loan Debt Expert. He is the founder and CEO of the College Investor, which is the number one resource for helping millennials get out of student loan debt and start building real wealth for their future. He has been on this mission since 2009. He majored in political science at University of California, San Diego, and received his MBA from the Rady School of Management at University of California, San Diego, and is with us today on the New Investor Podcast. Robert, thank you so much for making the time to join us, as I know you are very busy. We have a few things to talk about, and I am so pleased to have the opportunity to have you on the show today.
Carl, thank you so much. I'm excited to be here. This is great. I'm so honored to be one of your first guests.
Oh, indeed. I'm so excited. I don't know where to start. But if I had to get into it right away, and I think the most important question that rests on the audience mind before we get into the wealth creation part of the discussion is, how can young adults realistically save and invest if their student debt is so massive? And what should they do to get out of it?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's hard. It's a balance. I'm a huge advocate of using a financial balance approach to investing and saving and getting out of debt. Because the thing is when you're young, let's just say you're 22 to 30, it doesn't matter how good of an investor you are. If you only have $500 to invest, you know, you could have 100% return every single year for that decade. And, you know, you're still only going to be at like $50,000. That's not going to make a difference in your life. You have to be able to save that money so that it grows over time, because it's a game of time. You need, if you look at any kind of investing yield curve and stuff and compound interest calculator, it's the last 5 to 10 years. You know, it's 30 years down the road when you're seeing massive gains. Those first few years, it's cool to double your money. But when you're doubling $1,000 to $2,000, that's great, but it's not going to help you retire, or it's not going to help you become financially independent to live. And so you have to start early, and you have to start saving, even if it hurts. Maybe it's driving not a great car. Maybe it is taking public transportation. Maybe it's living in a studio apartment instead of getting a one bedroom, because you save $200 to $400 a month in rent, and you can put that into your investments and still be able to manage your student loan debt. And the cool thing here in the United States is there's a lot of free money opportunities to invest. In the United States, we have 401k plans where your employer will match you and give you free money into your account to invest, but you have to take advantage of it. And only about 60% of people take advantage of it. So that means 40% of people are just leaving free money on the table that they could be doing investing with. And then we also have health savings accounts here in the United States. It's a similar type concept. And your employers will usually match that. And the only requirement is that you go get like a physical. Like, we could all go to the doctor once a year and they'll give you like $500, $1,000 into this account, and you don't have to use it for healthcare. You could use it to invest all the way into retirement. And these types of free money opportunities are great, especially if you're dealing with student loan debt, right? If I was to give you $5,000, wouldn't you take it? I don't know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Robert, do you think this is a matter of disinformation being misinformed, or not enough information out there to know all of that?
It's 100% that. It's we don't teach enough personal finance in school. I think that we should be teaching personal finance every year, or at least every other year, throughout from elementary school to high school, because every age of an individual has something that they can learn. You know, when you're young and you're like in kindergarten, like teach them what money is. Here's a dollar, right? Like, you know, but then when you get to high school, you should be teaching them how to do your taxes. There's a joke that goes around every year around tax time. It's that I really glad I learned about parallelograms in high school, because when parallelogram season comes, like, I'm so prepared, right? Like,
right. Well, that's so true, Robert. I mean, let's just say now, what is, to your view, what is the most important thing that then a young adult needs to know about personal finance? If we consider everything that you just said, it does seem that there is a big gap between what is out there and what the young population actually knows or being educated properly towards investing, saving, building wealth. So what is the most important thing, Robert?
The most important thing is to remember it's really simple, basic math. Income minus expenses equals what you have left to save. And you got to save for yourself because no one else is going to do it. I think the hard part is we don't give a formal education about any of this stuff in school. And so people are left to make assumptions based on what they see. They make assumptions based on what they see on Instagram, some celebrity, what their friends are doing. You know, one of the interesting things that I was reading about recently is that because employers pay you and they're your provider, they give you a paycheck. A lot of people actually look to their bosses and their employers as financial role models, which can be scary because my bosses knew nothing about money. My one boss had tax debt because he blew all of his bonus and didn't pay taxes on it. Like, but people just make these assumptions because I get a paycheck, so these people must know something about money that I don't. And it's kind of scary when you think about that. So if we can formalize the education, we could teach people. I mean, you know this, you have a podcast, you have a website. If you Google it, you can get an answer, but people don't Google it. They just assume, and that's the problem. What's the rule? Assumption makes an ass out of you and me, right?
No, absolutely. I mean, by being just a little bit curious, by doing your research just a little bit, not so much, right. Because it's easier than you think. And even my bosses, the senior executives in my company, do ask me about the questions like, which company should I invest in, do you think? Like the basics of the basics of investing. So it is really, you know, even your bosses are not as educated as you think about money.
Not at all. Everyone has their own priorities, you know, and money is usually not a high one, even though it should be. They're just trying to get through life. And some people are passionate. You and I, we're probably extremely passionate about money, right? We love talking about this stuff. We love investing, but most people aren't us. Most people just want to have enough to get by. They want to make sure they're feeling secure, they're paying their bills, and they're saving a little bit for the future. And that's all you need to do. And it's just simple math. But if you're not organized, if you don't know where your money's going, if you don't know how to take advantage of these free money opportunities, you could be leaving a lot on the table that really doesn't change your life, right? Like, I'm not asking you to, you know, live on peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every single day. You know, like, absolutely. You could still live a normal life if you know what you have available to you.
It's really all about planning. If we talk about wealth planning, and now what do you think makes sense now for the audience listening to be doing while on their journey to financial freedom? And what are the keys to building real wealth, like sustainable wealth over time, Robert?
Yeah, the real thing is to understand how your wealth is generated, how you're deploying these levers, and it is to, you know, realize where you're taking assets today to take care of yourself in the future. So I kind of have a counterintuitive way to think about this, is that there's really like four main ways that people have create wealth. There's you go earn it, right? You go work. Then there's paper assets, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs. There is business ownership. And then there is real estate. And those are kind of the four main buckets. And so when you're young and early in life, you got you. And you can earn and earn and earn. But then you need to siphon off that money and you need to start putting it in these other buckets so that those buckets can start working for you. An early, easy one is to start a side business. In the United States, I'm bullish on starting a side business, whether it's selling stuff on eBay or it's, you know, you can earn a couple hundred bucks a month just on the side. 100%. And that is super easy way to start adding an income stream. Then you start putting money into those paper assets, whether it's a retirement account or an investment account, and you take that little extra and you put it in there. And then maybe someday you do buy a rental property or some type of real estate, but you can add to these buckets. And then ideally, over time, those other three buckets can replace the income that you are right now bringing, you know?
Financial freedom.
Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's so many different types of investment that you can make, and it could be confusing and scary for the young and new investors. And that's actually what prevents them from starting even. So at the very start, what type of investment do you think makes the most sense for young adults? Like the very first step to your view, Robert, what do you think that is?
Honestly, I just think a total stock market fund. Like, just keep it simple. You know, low cost, total stock market fund, because the only way you lose in a total stock market fund is if the whole world collapses, right? You're investing in the top 5,000 companies of the whole world. And if one of them fails, you know, number 5,001 just gets bumped into the mix. So like the only way that that fails over the long run is if the whole world collapses. And then you have more problems to worry about than your paper assets, yeah, right?
What are the odds of that happening?
Exactly. And you know, there's going to be
economy, you know, even the US economy from collapsing, the odds of that in the next 10 years are none.
And that's why I say a total stock market fund, because even if the U.S. economy collapses, there's the whole rest of the world. And who knows? It could be in China. It could be something in Africa. It could be somewhere else that develops, that starts bringing more companies into the mix that we don't even know about. Shoot, you go back in time 20 years, we didn't have like half the companies in the S&P 500 that are there today. Like, who knows where the next 20 years are going to be? And that's my thing, is that picking stocks, looking at investments and stuff can be fun. But for someone that's just starting out and doesn't have the time to invest in that and doesn't want to think about it, just invest in everything. Just put your money in it all,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And this allows also to understand and learn about the dynamics of the market. You need to learn. You need to research. You need to get that knowledge into you. And the best way to do that is to, exactly as you say, is to buy a total market fund and just observe how it goes and just stay invested, you know, buy and hold. And over time, you'll do well. I mean, It's simple, right?
It's simple, but you know, what's the hard part is the psychology. The math is the math, but it's like getting through our minds and understanding this and having that the mental stamina to stay with it, because it's not fun. Like, say you got a 10% return this year, you know, but if you only had $1,000 invested, that means you have $1,100 at the end of the year. And that's kind of like, okay, like, I don't know. There's nothing to
it's
it, right?
It's not sexy enough, right? It's not worth rolling the drums on Instagram, right? But at the end of the day, you're still building wealth, regardless of how much you are doing. You're building wealth over now. $1,000 is a start, but if you can save $1,000, man,
every month, it's a victory.
It's a victory. It's a victory. And I think we have to. It's all about perspective, I think, Robert. But you know, there's another point here that is really I'm really interested in knowing. Your point of view on this is that nowadays being an entrepreneur is so cool. It's you know, it's everybody wants to be one, and you know, everybody talks about side hustles and well, I'm all for it. You know, I'm a real advocate of using your every single hour of your day towards the betterment of your financial future or your future as a whole. So, what kind of side hustles do you think make sense as a young aspiring investor while having a full-time job at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very bullish on it. Like, look, everyone, just you do you. You don't have to, but at the end of the day, if you're coming up short $100 a month in your budget, don't complain to me when you're watching Netflix and not out there, you know, and you're spending money and not earning money. That's kind of my thing. Like, you don't have to go side hustle at all. But on the flip side, don't complain. Here's the thing. We live in this day and age where the ability to earn money on your phone or on the internet is kind of limitless, right? There's so many opportunities out there. And so everyone's got a unique perspective, a unique way to do it. I mean, you can go out and do Uber and Lyft and DoorDash and deliver food and things like that. And you know, that has its pros and cons. The positive of that is that you could literally, with no costs, no nothing, at 2 a.m, turn on your app and make $20. Like, with nothing, no boss, no anything. You just go and do it. But, you know, the con is that you're driving and doing things and maybe it's not, you know, the best, you know, use of your time. And that's a fair argument, but Where else are you going to be able to do that? I mean, my side hustle was, like I said, selling stuff on eBay. I sold stuff on eBay all the way from high school, college, and I still sell stuff today. I just love it. I see a deal, I want to flip that deal, right? And so I used to sell all my old stuff first. I used to have when I was in high school, I had my old Super Nintendo and things that I never played. I hadn't played it in 5-7 years since I was a little boy. And I was like, I wonder if I could sell this. And I had a Nintendo and all these old games, and I started selling all this old stuff that was just laying around my house on eBay and making a couple hundred bucks a month.
Yeah, I mean, we assume people are not interested in your old things. People are interested in everything, in your spoons, in your fork.
Exactly. And then when I sold all my own stuff, I started going to garage sales and estate sales and buying stuff to resell. And I was doing that all the way through, and I still do that today. There's some Dyson hair dryer thing my wife found, and we're flipping those on eBay right now before the holidays. There's just, so many.
Did you sell them?
Yeah, I'm making 100.
Exactly.
there's just so many opportunities out there, and it doesn't take a lot of time, doesn't take a lot of effort, but you got to try things. And everyone's got their own perspective. My sister-in-law, she makes things on Etsy, little stationery greeting cards, wedding invitations. And she does this every week. And all she does is she has the TV on, she's watching her favorite shows, and is just cutting things out on the coffee table while she's doing what she also likes to do. I mean, she enjoys it. And she's making $100 a week selling stationery on Etsy.
I mean, everybody's passionate about something. It's impossible to sit around and not being passionate about anything, like comic books to anything. I'm a hotelier. I manage luxury hotels for a living. And look at me. I'm doing a podcast on investing. Yeah. I'm writing a book on investing because I'm passionate about it. So if you're passionate about anything, just, pull up a chair, sit down, map it out, and build a business around it. It's possible. Everything.
Oh, Joel, I have a friend that's really passionate about travel. And so he has a gig on Fiverr where he sells travel guides. So you say he has a list of all the countries he's been, and if you're going there, he'll put together a guide for you for $10. I think it's $5 for a basic one, $10 to customize it. But he's already made the guides because he traveled there, and he's like, here's some restaurants that we liked, and here's some, and just gives it to him. And
you come back from work and you can work on something you're passionate about and easily and reach so many people out there. I mean, this is just a God-given possibility we've been given by the universe, being born at this day and age right now where we can achieve anything.
Exactly.
I think it's just about, it's about putting in the work. And everybody asks me, Farah, how do I start? How do I start? Just start, start. I don't know how to explain it further. Maybe you can tell.
It's hard because, it's also, there's a lot of psychology to it, right? There's this judgment. What are your friends going to think about you? I experienced this. People thought I was crazy and people thought I was weird, because I'd work full time and then I'd blog and I'd do all this stuff. Why are you going to garage sales too? And what are you doing? And all this stuff. And, for my whole 20s, I got these weird looks and all this stuff. But now I'm in my 30s. And I'm done. Stopped working a day job. I'm pretty much financially independent. And everyone judges me still. But now they're just like, how did he do this? I don't understand. And it's like, you don't remember the 10 years where you're talking crap? No, they weren't really talking crap. But, they were being judgmental. And it's like, hello. I put in the work.
You put in the work. That's it.
Right.
I don't know what to say. I mean, it's simpler than one thinks. And, it's only by, people like you spreading the message, doing the extraordinary job that you do with the college investor and what you're trying to disseminate to the young and new investors out there. And, Robert, how can we reach you? How can the audience know more about your work?
Yeah, so you can go to thecollegeinvestor.com. We talk everything about student loans, personal finance, and of course, investing. And you can listen to the audio show, The College Investor Audio Show, on your favorite podcast platform.
Guys, you need to subscribe to the College Investor Audio. It's really enriching right now what we had. It was a short but sweet, straight to the point talk, Robert. I think this is what people need. No longer these 1 hour talk trying to convince you. There's just a few foundational points to allow anyone to build wealth, save, build wealth, and get out of debt. I wanted to thank you, Robert, because I really found that talk, you know, however, you know, short it could be, very enriching. And you did offer plenty of value for the audience. And all that remains, everybody, is really to execute on that knowledge now. That's all that remains. So thank you very, very much, Robert.
Thank you so much for having me. Hopefully we sparked someone to take some action today.
I try that every day for the last 129 episodes now. So, you know, I will leave in the episode description, obviously, all the links related to Robert's activities and the College Investor. Highly recommended, of course. And I hope you have had, you know, a great time with us as I did, and got plenty of value out of this episode. So I learned quite a bit also today, I must say. So until the next episode, be well and stay invested.
Thank you for listening to the podcast, and I really hope that it brings you some additional support on your own journey towards financial freedom. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to never miss an episode, and looking forward to your DM and follow on Instagram at New Investor Podcast. In the meantime, stay invested, be patient, and keep playing the long-term game.